This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by one of the great leaders of our generation, Janice Spiso. Janice is by background a nurse and a master's in health administration. Today, she serves as the president of UCLA Health and the CEO of the UCLA Health System and Hospital System, one of the great systems in the country. Janice, can you take a moment to introduce yourself, and then we'll talk to you about UCLA, we'll talk about your career, your best advice for leaders, and more.
Thank you, Scott. Yes, it's a pleasure to be on today. I'm Janice Spiso, president of UCLA Health and CEO of the UCLA Hospital System.
And give us a sense of UCLA today, and what are you most proud of with respect to UCLA today?
Well, thank you. UCLA today is really an innovative and dynamic health system serving not only Los Angeles, but Southern California, the state of California, and nationally. I'm most proud to work here with our physicians and staff and the work that they do every day, 24 hours a day, to provide state-of-the-art quality care in a compassionate and kind manner to patients and their families. And we serve patients from all walks of life. In our four hospitals, we have the Ronald Reagan UCLA Medical Center, the UCLA Mattel Children's Hospital, the UCLA Santa Monica Hospital, and the UCLA Resnick Neuropsychiatric Institute. In addition, we have 180 clinics throughout Los Angeles and Southern California that provide primary care and secondary specialty care. We've really been working hard to reach out to our community. Los Angeles is a congested city with traffic, so we've really tried to take that great UCLA care out closer to home so our patients and families can access us. But it's really the work that happens every day by our physicians and staff that has helped make us number one in the state of California and number six in the nation on the U.S. News and World Report. And that is really going the extra mile every day to pursue new opportunities in research and discovery that lead to the better cures, better outcomes for patients we serve.
Well, and you're in a state with great healthcare institutions, and so to move up to number one in the state and number six in the country puts you in crazily elite companies. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And a couple of trends in the business that you see. You've mentioned trying to get closer and closer to your patient community in a congested, challenging city. I mean, a great city, one of the great cities in America, but a challenging, congested city. What are some of the trends that you see?
Yes, definitely. I think as a healthcare industry, we're all working on continuing to enhance patient safety, improving access, and making sure that we're sustainable from a financial standpoint so that we can really replace our capital and meet our ongoing needs. But definitely, I think what is most exciting in healthcare today is we're really seeing an explosion in technology and innovation in healthcare. Everything from artificial intelligence to help advance patient safety and decision making to new developments in research to provide better cures and treatments to patients. We've seen explosions in a lot of the cellular therapies. We've recently launched a major initiative house-wide at UCLA Health called an Innovation Challenge, where we are using some of our funds to support all levels of staff, every different type of member of the healthcare team, to bring their ideas forward. And we support funding of their initiatives. These can be in med tech, they can be in the basic science area, and we started all the way through innovation, through commercialization, if that be the case. So it is really great to see these ideas coming forward, and one of the exciting things in healthcare is how we continue, I think, to revolutionize and push new ways of doing work to make it not only more efficient and effective, but really better for patients, families, and staff.
Let me ask you a follow-up question to something you had said just a moment earlier. UCLA has, over the last decade or so, I remembered as a top 15 to top 20 system in U.S. News and World Report, obviously an elite system. More recently, you had mentioned number six in the country in terms of the U.S. News and World Report ratings and standings. And the U.S. News and World Report is sort of the gold standard in terms of what we all look at in terms of top rankings of hospitals health systems. What's going great that sort of has led UCLA to keep moving up in that sort of national view of great systems?
Yeah, that's a really good question. As we look at the ratings and rankings, not only at U.S. News and World Report, but other agencies that rank us, it really has been our journey in enhancing patient safety and improving outcomes, really hardwiring those principles throughout our organization to really reduce risk, reduce harm events, and continue to really advance not only safety, but patient satisfaction. In addition, I would say the groundbreaking research that's been done at UCLA in a variety of different areas, in cancer, in neuroscience, in genomics, have really helped us bring new treatments really to the clinical side. It's been just really inspiring to see the work done in the basic science and then transition that into the clinical environment so our staff can really see the benefits of that research in improving patient outcomes. So I think it is all of those factors. It definitely has been a journey for us, and we continue to really hardwire that culture of excellence throughout the organization.
Thank you. Can you take a moment, tell us a little bit about your journey to leadership at UCLA? I remember that we used to have you in the Midwest here at one point. Our loss is the gain of California, which is great for California, sad for the Midwest. How did you end up in the position you're in? And talk a little bit about your career evolution, because I think it's inspiring for people.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I started my career as a critical care nurse at the University of Pittsburgh Presbyterian Medical Center. So I really came up through the nursing tracks. And as I like to say, I feel like I've really worked at every rung of the ladder. And then moved to California at that time to pursue graduate school, and worked at the University of California, Davis for 12 years. And then in that time there, I progressed from nurse manager to director of nursing in the critical care, emergency, trauma, and burn areas. And then after 12 years at UC Davis, I moved to Seattle, Washington, and was recruited by the University of Washington to be the chief nurse executive at Harborview Medical Center. Did that, and my time at UW Medicine was actually 22 years. And through that journey, I went from chief nursing officer to chief operating officer to executive over one of the hospitals, and then to the chief health system officer, and did that role there for 8 years. And then most recently, 3 years ago, I moved to UCLA Health when I was recruited to be the president and the CEO of the health system. So I feel like, in that transition from bedside nurse to nurse manager to nursing director to chief operating officer, then to the executive, I've really had great visibility and connection with the staff at every level. And also, as a nurse, my knowledge of our product, which is patient care, has really helped me throughout my career. I'd also say I was really never the person who was looking for that next job. I really focused on doing the best job I could in whatever job I had, and I truly felt in every job I had, I could finish my career in that job. I really had great enjoyment. I had great mentors, and I feel that I was fortunate to be sought out to apply for new positions when they became available, and a lot of that, I think, was just due to, building that credibility in a system. So it wasn't a path that I ever had envisioned or planned. I think it was one where I had a lot of great mentors and opportunities to really help lay that foundation for me.
Let me ask you a follow-up question to that, because what a magnificent journey. And, from sort of nurse to nurse leader to executive to now CEO of one of the best regarded systems in the world. You had a fascinating journey. Any thoughts on your best advice for leaders, whether it be women or male leaders, men or women leaders? Any advice in terms of leadership?
Yes, definitely. You know, I would say my advice for women is pretty much the same for any leaders. I would say really do your best in the job that you're in and seek out opportunities to learn, to do new projects, to take on additional responsibilities. I also think it's so important that you develop in every leadership role, whether it be manager to executive, develop a team of highly capable and bright people that you surround yourself with and listen and learn from them. Focus on really not only what you can do for the institution, but how you as a leader can really advance and mentor the team. And I believe good mentorship really happens at every level. And I think when you're doing all of those things and when you are really being that inspiring type of leader that is listening and learning, people notice you for promotions. I often get asked, particularly by employees young in their career, they'll come and say, I want to be where you are in X numbers of years. How do I do that? And I don't think there's a set path for that. I think you really, someone once said to me, there's a lot of benefit at really carrying that crown before you wear it, right? So you really understand your role at each level before you advance. And I do think there's really no trade-off for developing that type of credibility. As a leader, people realize you understand the work that they're doing and that you can really relate. And I do feel staff really trust us as leaders with making the right decisions for the institution and understanding really how those decisions impact care and work, you know, from the bedside up.
Fascinating. And Jenny, let me ask you a different question. And you've had this great career path, University of Pittsburgh, University of Washington, a long-term time at UC Davis, and now the last few years at UCLA. And you're always poised. You're always very smart. You're always empathetic. How do you keep yourself motivated over the course of a career? How do you constantly find that motivation and energy?
Yes. Well, I think, first of all, we're fortunate to work in healthcare because so much of the work that we do is inspiring. For me, I really get my inspiration of seeing how dedicated and passionate our physicians and staff are about reducing suffering and improving health. And when I round in our healthcare facilities, in our hospitals, in our clinics, I see that great work and how that translates into really meaningful implications for our patients and families. You know, the ability to make a difference in patients and families' lives, not only by improving their health, but also delivering those acts of compassion and kindness. To me, that's so inspiring. You know, every day, staff who work in healthcare see enormous tragedies and enormous triumphs. And I think, you know, you have to provide the support and inspiration to them as well to really keep at it. And so what we really try to do is share those great success stories, learn from things that didn't go well, but continue to look at how we can inspire the staff to really push the envelope forward to really lead some of these groundbreaking discoveries.
One of the things I notice in talking to you is you do something that is, you constantly do this. You constantly praise and give thanks to both your physicians and staff. And in terms of leadership of healthcare institutions, you hear that some, you hear people being more cautious today and calling out constantly both their physicians and staff. It's almost become unpopular in some circles to both be so thankful to your physicians as well as your staff. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, you know, I actually have always felt as a leader, it is our privilege to really get to lead these great institutions and to work with the great teams. Certainly, you know, from my role at the, early on at the bedside, I haven't forgotten that it's actually the staff that make the difference. It isn't really the bricks and mortar or how lovely the place is. It's actually that care that is delivered inside. And without our fantastic teams, that wouldn't come together. So I feel, you know, having come from being a team member, I recognize that. And I also feel that, you know, as a leader, it can't be about us as the leader. It really needs to be about the institution and the work that's done. And to me, I can't ever separate that work from the amazing people who do it every day.
And that's fantastic. And I think that view of the world is completely right on. And I appreciate your sentiment and how consistently it's part of who you are and how you view things. And I think it's so critical to the UCLA journey and how well UCLA continues to evolve, innovate, and just be magnificent on the two things you mentioned early, aside from research and innovation, which are patient experience and patient quality and risk reduction. So yeah. I think how you approach it is so important to the success of the institution. They're just fantastic. Another question, Jenny, is any great leaders or mentors that have been particularly important to your development or leaders that you particularly look up to or admire?
Yes, definitely. And again, I think so much of my success has been in what I learned from great mentors, and really starting with my parents, who taught me that dedication, compassion, and hard work are essential for success. My mom was a teacher, working full time at a time when many moms didn't work. And I watched her being able to multitask, to juggle everything, and to really make hard work turn into success for our entire family. In addition, at every institution I've worked, I've had amazing role models and mentors, physicians, leaders, managers, executives that I've learned so much from and really took an interest in helping develop me. I always also like to add, though, that I've also had some role models that really weren't the best. And I would say I've learned from them as well, because when you are working for someone maybe who isn't the best role model, you learn a lot about how not to be. And sometimes I think that's just as valuable. So I always tell people, you know, don't be discouraged by that, by working for someone that is really challenging, because even though it seems so difficult every day, you're actually learning a lot in that process.
I think your last answer is so interesting. It's so interesting because in probably 200 to 300 interviews in the last year, no one has spoken to this point, how much I learned from somebody who's doing something not right, mm-hmm. until today. And now today I've had two interviews where somebody's made that exact point.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said earlier today, I learned so much from a teacher who told me to try and be like X, not like myself, and how it forced me to grow by not following that advice, by not following the advice of the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something very similar.
Yes.
I've learned so much from mentors and leaders, but I've also learned so much from managers I didn't like how they were managing, or people I didn't think that was the right way to do it. And I think that is just so interesting of a perspective and such a real perspective, because you learn so much from people doing things right, but it also forces the back to go up, the strength to grow from watching somebody do something and say, I'm not going to attack them, but when I'm in a leadership position, I'm going to take a slightly different approach to it. I'm going to look at it differently. I'm going to promote people differently. I'm going to try and treat people differently. I'm going to try and constantly praise my people versus not, or whatever it might be. But I think it's a magnificent perspective, Janice, and I appreciate you sharing it. And it's literally the second time I've heard it in the last year and a half in 200 to 300 interviews, and twice today. So thank you so much. And fascinating.
Yes. I think it takes a while to realize that. You know, I didn't necessarily realize it at the time, but when you get past that and you reflect, that's when you see the learnings that were there.
Another question. You moved from nurse leader to CEO of one of the world's great health systems. Others that you saw do that, were there others that you saw take that path that were inspiring to you? You know, it wasn't that many years ago, we're at a 5,500 hospitals in the country, almost all of them had male leaders, and almost none of them had female leaders, particularly nurse leaders that ended up being leaders of those systems. Anybody that sort of you looked at and said, God, it's been helpful for me to see others take that journey, or was it more you were just doing your own journey? Any thoughts on that?
You know, I was definitely doing my own journey, but I will say I had a lot of opportunities to participate on national boards where there were other women leaders in healthcare. There were other nurse leaders at that executive level in healthcare. And so we definitely had different groups and forums that would allow us to really, you know, collaborate and understand some of the challenges and share best practices. So I would say those were really opportunities to have that collaboration and mentorship that I really benefited from.
Well, I think just fantastic. It's amazing for me to see the change in the landscape, the change in the world. I think this is the first year ever where more women than men will graduate from college, more women than men will enter
yes.
the workforce. And just a completely changing world and so many great things that come from it. It's just if you're not totally embracing every part of the talent pool, you can't have great leadership in our institutions, in our country, and everything. So just a magnificent journey and a pleasure to visit with you on the journey. One other question, Jenny. This year's already been a great year for UCLA Health. If this year goes well, what does that look like?
Well, I would say we would continue to excel in patient safety. We would have zero harm events. We would be able to retain our amazing staff and physicians and continue to make a difference in the lives of patients and families every day. We also need to continue to improve on access and remain fiscally viable and have the funds needed to invest in our continued expansion. But I always start with patient safety and satisfaction because I feel if we do that to our very best, we actually succeed.
I love that because everybody talks about big systems and population health and big this and big that. But if you come back to the concept, and yes, there has to be processes and systems to do this right, and some of these have to go right to do this right. But if you come back to the concept that it really comes down to zero risk, zero harm, great patient outcomes, great patient experience, a lot of things go well. And it sounds like
yes.
that's a lot of the message.
I would agree.
Well, Janice, we have to wrap up. It just is a great honor and privilege to talk to you today. And what a pleasure and what a fascinating journey. It's been a pleasure for me to hear more about it. And I know our listeners will love listening to you. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Janice, you were great. Thank you so much.
Oh,
what a pleasure to visit with you and hear your thoughts.
You're a pro at this. You're definitely a pro.
No, it's a great pleasure for me. It gives me a chance to visit with people and hear what they have to say and hear what they think. Firing, it's motivating. You were really fantastic. And I congratulations on everything. Just fantastic. And where was UCLA Health when you joined UCLA? Where was it at in the U.S. News World Rankings? We're off the record. We're off now.
We were always, you know, we've always been kind of floating anywhere from that, like, 5, 6, 7. 1 year, years ago, it was a 3, but that was before the criteria changed. So I'd say we were all, last year we were 7, now this year we were 6. So, you know, we've definitely been around that range.
That's fantastic. Does anybody at UCLA, you know, and I know they do on the other side of the campus, whatever, talk about John Wooden and greatness and so forth. Is that ever part of the UCLA
yes.
health mentality?
So much. In fact, every year I do around the holidays a management forum where I bring in a speaker. And 2 years ago, we had one of his players come in and give the whole, this, he went on to be a television producer, and he gave the whole overview of John Wooden and a book that they wrote together. And then we give out that little handbook of his principles and thoughts, because they're really lessons about life rather than just basketball. And he was such an iconic figure here at UCLA.
Janice, we've talked a lot about sort of the excellence of UCLA Health, and it dawns on me that back in the day, the greatest basketball coach ever and the greatest college basketball dynasty ever was John Wooden, and John Wooden was known for these magnificent fundamentals and really leading an institution, in that case the basketball team, to some crazy number of titles. I'm curious as to the ethos at UCLA Health, whether they're so separate, or at UCLA Health, where you've had such greatness, top 10 rankings in the U.S. News and World Report, now number 6, is there ever a time that greatness of John Wooden is ever thought about and what they did there in terms of UCLA Health? Is there ever a connection?
Well, that's a great question, and I will say a resounding yes. I mean, the ability to really have Coach Wooden as our icon and legend here, and his pyramid of success, which was really built, and as he quotes, it's peace of mind, which is a direct result of that self-satisfaction in knowing you made your best effort to become the best in what you're capable of doing. We use that in our management principles. In fact, I had one of his athletes come and give a presentation, an athlete who had been coached under Coach Wooden, and tell us about what it was like firsthand to work with the coach and really live through that pyramid of success that he created, which leads to competitive greatness, which is built on so many key values of cooperation, loyalty, enthusiasm, skill, confidence, poise, self-control. Those are all keys of success to good management as well. And we're so fortunate to have that legacy here at UCLA, and so many of his teachings, which really apply not only to basketball, but to life, as really a roadmap for success.
Well, Janice, I can't tell you how much it's a pleasure to hear you talk about that, but also talk about your entire career journey from sort of nurse to nurse leader to executive to now CEO of one of the greatest health systems in the world. What a great pleasure to have a chance to visit with you today. Thank you so much for joining us. You've been just magnificent.
Well, thank you, and it's my pleasure. Thank you.